know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have invited us to call you our Father in heaven. We ask now that you will be with us as we hear your word. So bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, so they may be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yes, the event which radically changed the course of Martin Luther's life took place in 1505. He was a happy-go-lucky student, and he suddenly became a humble monk looking for God's grace. How did that happen? Well, Luther was on his way back to his university after having visited his parents, and there was a terrible thunderstorm, and there was a lightning strike right near him, and he was thrown to the ground. At that moment, he called out to Saint Anne and said that if she saved him, I will become a monk. So Luther bargained with God, asking to be saved and making a promise. Bargaining with God is not a new thing. People have done it for years, centuries, millenniums. God, if you'll do this one thing for me, I promise I will be a better person. God, if you forgive me on this time, I promise I will not do it again. Bargaining with God. Perhaps you have bargained with God at times. If you will make my loved one well, I will make it up to you. Is it wrong to bargain with God? Should we just blindly accept God's will and whatever happens? Well, if it was not possible to change God's mind, then we would have to ask, why do we indeed pray? One of my favourite stories of bargaining with God was the story that we just heard with Abraham, where he bargains with God regarding the future of Sodom and Gomorrah. God has told Abraham of his plans to destroy both towns because of their wickedness. But Abraham is concerned for the good people that are living in the town who will be caught up in the destruction. So he says to God, suppose there are 50 righteous people in the city. Will you destroy them as well as you destroy the evil in the town? Interestingly, as we heard, God agrees to Abraham's bargaining. What it shows us is that God is not an overlord who says, it is my way and my way only. God responds, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous people, I will forgive the entire city. Abraham, realizing that God listens and that he is not a callous overlord, bargains further. What about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? What if you can find 10 righteous people in Sodom? God answers, okay, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy those towns. Abraham is very different to Jonah. Jonah is told that God is going to destroy Nineveh and that he is to go there and let them know. But Jonah doesn't want to. In fact, he flees and goes in the opposite direction. Why does he do that? Because he knows God has the tendency to change his mind. He knows that if they repent, that God will show them mercy and not destroy them. What these passages and others show us is that God is always seeking to save and not destroy. It also shows us that no one is beyond saving. But it also does reveal something about God, and that is that he will not let unrepented sin simply be ignored. We know what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the lesson for us in these readings is the call for Christians to pray. And a very special prayer that we call intercession, where we are called to pray for those who either do not or cannot pray. They cannot pray because they have no faith. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and God believed he needed to act. But unknown to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was praying for them. And he had God's mercy ready and willing to be unleashed if God could find righteousness in that town. Prayer is a vital role in the life of a Christian, but one that is sadly neglected and in fact difficult. Now one might ask, why is prayer so difficult? I mean, isn't it just folding your hands, bowing your heads, closing your eyes and speaking to God? Well, on one level it is that simple. But at another level it is not. And the reason why is because Satan attacks our prayer life. And he puts many obstacles in our way. Now those obstacles vary, because we all have differences in our weakness, and Satan attacks those weaknesses. In fact, we see in our gospel reading that the disciples were also finding it difficult to pray. They had seen Jesus praying regularly. They had seen John's disciples praying as well. And so they come up to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, what are they expecting Jesus to teach them? To teach them how to fold their hands? To teach them how to close their eyes and bow their head? Now, obviously, there was something much deeper to prayer than simply how to pray. And so Jesus responds, not with a teaching lesson, but firstly with a gift. He says to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. This is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, not just because it was the prayer Jesus taught them, but because it is his own prayer. He invites us to call his Father our Father. It is an invitation to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is often underrated. And it's because people believe that we should be praying more freely, that we should be more responsive and impulsive in our prayer life rather than reading out a written prayer as we do. But that's not what we are doing in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we are entering into the holiest of places as we dare to enter into God's presence and call him Father. Jesus uses a parable to explain the boldness of praying this prayer. He said, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And the answer comes from within. Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." This would be the response of God if it were not for Jesus' invitation. The Lord's Prayer knocks on the very door of heaven, where without Jesus' invitation, God would have every right to respond, "Do not bother me." The door has already been locked, and you locked it by your sin. But Jesus has given to us the very keys to heaven, where we can ask and it will be received, where we can seek and we will find, where we can knock and the door will be opened. When Jesus gave the keys to heaven to Peter, he says, "Whatever you loose on earth will also be loosed in heaven." That's what prayer does. Prayer brings heaven and earth together. Like Abraham, we can have the boldness and the audacity to knock on the door of heaven and bring our prayer petitions to God. Do we understand what we are doing when we are doing that? In the Old Testament, one could not enter into the holy place unless God had authorized it. Some had died because they offered unauthorized sacrifices. There is a story as they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant. It was about to fall onto the ground, and an unauthorized person reached to save it, and he is struck dead because he touched the holy things without that invitation. We have that invitation when Jesus says, "No one can come to the Father except through me." But the Lord's Prayer is not the end of our prayer life. It is just the beginning. The Lord's Prayer leads us into the heavenly realm where we are greeted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues our prayer life. St. Paul says in Romans, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness." So Paul also identifies that prayer is our weakness. He says, "We do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And that is the role of the Holy Spirit, so that our prayers and God's will become one. So next time you are praying the Lord's Prayer, as we will shortly, don't rush through it, but savour every petition as you speak with God in the heavenly realms. Speak with confidence as you ask, seek, and knock, confident that God will open the door and hear your prayer. But we also pray with humility, not taking for granted that you're simply praying this prayer yet again, knowing that Jesus himself has invited you to pray his own intimate prayer to his Father and our Father. And remember the power of your prayer, that you can change the very mind of God, just as Abraham was invited to, bold enough to challenge God and his mercy, something that Jonah couldn't do, and yet God's will was still done as he showed mercy to Nineveh as he relented from sending their destruction. So friends, as Christians, with that special invitation to pray, let us pray for those who cannot or do not pray, and be confident that when you ask, it will be given to you. When you seek, you will find, and when you knock, the very door of heaven will be opened to you. May the peace of God that surpasses our understanding keep our hearts and our minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.